Ready to buy a car, a home, or just want to take control of your money? Your FICO score matters, and 90% of top lenders use it to make decisions. Check your FICO score for free today without hurting your credit score. Visit myfico.com/free or download the MyFICO app today. MyFICO gives you the score lenders use most, plus credit reports and real-time alerts to help keep you on top of your credit. Visit myfico.com/free and take the mystery out of your FICO score.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Trust you are doing well today. And want to say thank you for bearing through yesterday, the little illness, but it is great to be back behind the microphone today. We have a jam-packed show for you and a lot happening across the nation. We're going to get to all of those stories. Very rarely do we start off the program, though, with a special guest, and today is an exception because we have a very special guest with us, Senator Marsha Blackburn, joining us from the great state of Tennessee. She's also running for governor and has my full endorsement. And it turns out, we discovered yesterday, that a number of Republican senators were actually the focus of investigations. They were targeted by Merrick Garland and Chris Wray during the Biden administration, all part of this Arctic Frost probe. First, Senator Blackburn, always good to have you on the show.
Well, it is good to be with you. And yes, indeed, what we have learned is that Chris Wray wrote a memo in April 4th of 22, and the next day, Lisa Monaco, the deputy attorney general under Joe Biden, and Merrick Garland, the attorney general, signed off on this memo. And that put the wheels in place for Arctic Frost and the hiring of Jack Smith to be the special counsel. Now, the memo, which we have on all of our social media and website, is just one of these things of, we think, possibly, maybe, could have been, we ought to look at this, we could allege this or allege that. In other words, it was a Class A high-end weaponization of DOJ and a complete fishing expedition because they wanted to just rip apart President Donald Trump. So they were looking for people that support President Trump. And, of course, the nine senators that were surveilled, they all Republican, all support President Trump, and each and every one of us had valid questions about the outcomes of the 2020 election.
Senator, I'm just, it's just staggering to know that they would have the audacity, I mean, to go after Republican members of Congress, literally respected, lawmakers, without any shred of evidence. So they can do that? Can they actually go in and just go fishing like that?
Well, they're not supposed to. It's a criminal act. It's a violation of our First and Fourth Amendment. It's a violation of the separation of powers, of the Stored Communication Act, and it's a violation of the Speech and Debate Clause. And indeed, what they did was to go in and pull all of this. We found out that they worked with this leftist judge, Judge Boasberg, and they got 197 subpoenas. See, they got a subpoena on our phone records and sent that to our wireless carrier, mine is Verizon. Verizon never moved to challenge or to quash the subpoena. AT&T did, and they did not comply. But Judge Boasberg is such a leftist. He not only did the subpoena, but he laid a non-disclosure order on top of the subpoena that said, hey, by the way, for a year, you can't tell these senators about this because we think that they may destroy evidence, or they may tamper with evidence, or they may try to intimidate witnesses, which, of course, is just, it is so over the top, Todd. But think about this. If they're doing this to U.S. senators, what are they doing to conservatives all across this country?
Absolutely. It's a great question. Senator Ron Johnson in that press conference called this nothing short of a Biden administration enemies list. Is that a good way to describe this?
We do look at it as this, because they went after 430 individuals and organizations combined with 197 different subpoenas. And Judge Boasberg was in the tank with them on this every step of the way.
Do we know what they were looking for and what information they were able to glean from all of this? And are you guys going to be able to find out? And I think, you know, again, it's not just you guys, but groups like Fox News, Newsmax, Laura Trump, Turning Point USA. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of Republicans were targeted here.
Yeah, we think that what they were doing was, they later in August of 23, they indicted President Trump on conspiracy charges. So we know that. And we think that they were looking for people that would have been obstructionists or co-conspirators, and they thought they were going to get away with this. They thought this was a way to put President Trump in prison and to end the conservative movement. But you know what? Donald Trump won, and now we have Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, and we are finding out what they were up to. And it is clearly illegal. Now, I've already sent a letter over to DOJ. My colleagues joined me on it. And it calls for Jack Smith and the attorneys that were working with him to be referred to the Office of Professional Conduct over at the DOJ. This will give a predicate, if you will, for moving forward to get Jack Smith disbarred. We're also going to do our hearings, and we think these individuals that carried out this criminal act by weaponizing the FBI and the DOJ, they should be held to account to the fullest extent of the law. We want to begin our hearings at Judiciary Committee so we have evidence to turn over to DOJ, and so that there can be indictments and prosecutions of these people.
You know, Senator, I mean, if you're looking for any sort of comparison in political history, what's happening here, it sort of reminds me of the tapping of the spying at DNC headquarters there at Watergate. But this is far beyond that.
Oh, it's so much more expansive. It's so much bigger than Watergate, because Watergate was an isolated incident. And what you're looking at now is something that went deep and wide, and we are just beginning to find out how deep and wide it was. And we will look for other items that are coordinated and pulled into this. We're going to, as I said, we're ready to do a hearing with Jack Smith, and we also want to call in the wireless companies. So we want to get those two out of the way, and that will help us with the discovery as we move forward to other hearings.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I know you've been extremely busy today, and we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Real quick, though, for the good listeners across the great state of Tennessee, how is the campaign going?
Everything is going great. We are just blessed beyond measure. We have people that are praying for us and praying over the work that we're doing, and we're incredibly grateful.
And if I may be so bold, I know you invited me to this great concert, Shenandoah, at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Senator,
yes.
you've got some dance skills. I just want to leave it there, but that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. So good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Senator Marsha Blackburn, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. That is a disturbing revelation that came down late yesterday, that the Biden Justice Department was covertly investigating hundreds and hundreds of Republicans and Republican organizations. We don't know what sort of information they were accumulating. And by the way, we don't know the full extent here. I mean, this may be a situation where they've even gone in and targeted a good number of just regular Joe conservatives, and we may never know about that information. But ladies and gentlemen, what does it say about Joe Biden? What does it say about the Democrats? And it's really not Joe Biden, because we now know Joe Biden was not running the White House. We had a lot of subversives, radical communist subversives, that were running the Biden administration. What does it say that they were targeting and spying on Republican senators? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. I guess we should set up the whole show now. We had very little time with Senator Blackburn, and that was the only time we could make work. So it is great to be with you. Dylan, turn your microphone on for a minute. And I should have asked this off air. Who filled in for me yesterday?
That would be Mr. Andy Hoosier.
Andy Hoosier. All right. Thank you, Andy Hoosier. So your host, ladies and gentlemen, is under the weather in two fronts. And so my apologies if the voice sounds a little strained today, but I'm going through this sinus thing. It is a terrible thing. And God bless my good friend Jim LoSapio. Jim owns a number of incredible restaurants around the Memphis area, and he supplied me with my own stash of honey from his farm. And this is just a pro tip, and I have learned this. I'm becoming an expert on bees and honey. But if you go to the store, it has to be locally, you know, the bee honey has to be locally harvested. So if it did not come out of the buttocks of a bee in your community, it's not going to be good for you. Is that the basic gist of it? I think I got that right.
Yeah, their butts do. They pollinate.
They pollinate, whatever. It is what it is. So anyway, all that to say, thank you for the kind word. And by the way, thank you for the kind words on the birthday. That was insane. All of the treats, and it was all a surprise. I had no earthly idea that any of that was happening. So certainly do appreciate all of you guys and the kindness that you have displayed to me. All right. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And I'm just curious here, because there are debates being had in Washington and among Republicans within the Trump administration. Exactly how far should we go here when it comes to punishing these FBI agents that were targeting conservatives? Now, I believe we ought to throw the book at them. I believe that all names should be unredacted. We should know who these people are. They should be named. I believe they should be shamed and shunned in society, because they are traitors to their country. Anybody who uses their official position of power within the government to target their fellow Americans simply because of their political leanings, that to me is a treasonous, traitorous event. And they should be treated as such. And I think every single person who was involved in the investigations, who signed off on the investigations, who originated the investigations, every single person down to the secretary who saw it and did nothing, every single one of them should be arrested, and they should face whatever charges are allowed under the law. And that is the only way, that we get to the bottom of this, and also we stop this from happening again. Now, look, I too believe that there ought to be, and I know there's one congressman out there calling for open public hearings on this, saying this is far worse than what happened during Watergate. And it is, because you're looking at the full force of the government being used to target conservatives. And by the way, you want to talk about the poison fruit of the tree. We're talking about the Patriot Act. And that was created by the Bush administration in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And now we knew and we tried to warn people way back in 2001, 2002. We tried to warn people this was a very dangerous thing. But nobody wanted to listen because everybody was like, okay, we got to keep our people safe. We don't want planes flying into buildings anymore. So you take away our civil liberties and we're good with that. And that's what happened. The same thing happened during the China virus, by the way. And so now here we are, and the Democrats, and who knows how long this has been going on, but we now know that more than 430 people and entities were targeted by Arctic frost, including, believe it or not, CBS News, Fox News, Newsmax, Jared Kushner, Laura Trump, members of Congress, GOP donors, fundraisers, campaign strategists. They were looking to completely whack the head off the entire Republican Party apparatus. That's what they were trying to do. You know what I find interesting about all of this, though? And this is what is fascinating. Nobody ever got charged. Nobody ever got, you know why? Because they didn't do anything wrong. None of these Republican groups, none of these conservative groups did anything wrong. Turning Point USA, the Republican Attorneys General Association. This is insane. Some of Jack Smith's records that have been subpoenaed, they went after banks. They wanted to find out how much money Marsha Blackburn had in her bank account. They went after individuals and businesses. They wanted communication with media companies like CBS, Fox News, Fox Business, Newsmax, Sinclair. They wanted communication with any member, employee, or agent of the legislative branch of the government. Broad financial data relating to conservative individuals and entities. Go back to the Tea Party movement, ladies and gentlemen, and remember what happened. Barack Obama unleashed the Internal Revenue Service under Lois Lerner to target pro-life groups. Remember that? How many times did we tell you stories about conservative organizations, pro-life organizations, Christian organizations that were targeted with audits from the Internal Revenue Service? And I will just say this, those things are incredibly painful because during that time, I was at Fox News Channel and I was the focus of two audits. And I remember going to Fox Legal at the time, our legal department, and saying, what can I do here? You know, I don't have Bill O'Reilly money to fight this. And they said, get in line. They're coming after all of us. I mean, that's a horrible thing. And the amount of money, ladies and gentlemen, the amount of money it cost to fight off an audit. I mean, I was making good money at Fox, don't get me wrong. But, man, that is a chunk of change. And I think about the average American working a 40-hour job and he's involved or she's involved in politics and you guys get caught up in this. Here's how bad it was. And we're going to get to your calls after this in just a moment. We're going to get to your calls. Here's how bad it was. They went after the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And you know why Obama went after them? Because they supported traditional marriage in North Carolina. And they took out a full-page ad in the newspaper there saying that they believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. In the entire history of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the entire history, not once had they ever faced an audit. Not once. During the Obama years, they were audited twice. And let me say this, after it was all said and done, they were clean as a whistle. But imagine the amount of money, the thousands of dollars the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association had to fork over to fight and defend themselves from these false allegations from the Obama IRS. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to put a stop to this right now. I don't care who you are. If it's a Republican administration going after Democrats, Democrat administration going after Republicans, doesn't matter. We do not weaponize the government against law-abiding American citizens. We just don't do that. All right. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our number. Hey, ToddStearns.com, our website. We have some great stories for you to check out. We'll be right back, everybody.
Experience the drama behind the greatest book of all time. CBN Films' latest documentary, Oracles of God, recreates the origins of the New Testament with dramatic reenactments, stunning archaeological evidence, and insights from scholars that will change the way you view the New Testament.
Christianity did not begin in a lie, and we can and we must demonstrate this.
In theaters nationwide, November 2nd, 3rd, and 5th only. Tickets available at cbn.com/gettickets.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've got David from San Francisco, Anthony from Alabama on hold. Hang tight, guys. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and bring in a special guest, our good friend from the great state of Texas, Congressman Brandon Gill. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, Congressman, the deadline fast approaching, November 1st, SNAP benefits dry up. A lot of people are really frustrated out there across the country. What do you tell those frustrated Americans?
You know, I would remind them that Republicans have voted 13 times to continue these benefits, to continue paying for our troops and to keep the federal government open. And Democrats have routinely blocked us. We've done our job. We did our job in the House whenever we passed a continuing resolution to keep the government funded. We did that over a month ago now. The ball is in the Senate's court. Senate Democrats are holding this up. This was a clean CR. It was not political. All it was a means to keep the lights on in Washington, keep programs going, and Democrats are blocking it. And you know what? There are real costs to this. There are real people who see benefits cut. There are real troops who may not be getting paid. Now, luckily, we have a president who's stepping in, and it looks like they're able to find a way to make that happen. But there are real costs to this, and in these political games from the Senate, Senate Democrats need to stop.
It's really shocking, right? I mean, you see them going on TV, and they're doubling down, Congressman. But to a person, they can't tell you why they're really not going to support this continuing resolution. It makes you wonder who's really controlling the Democrat Party right now.
Well, and that's exactly it. They don't want to tell you why, because the reality is that they're doing this because they cannot control or stand up to their own radical left base. Look at Chuck Schumer. This is a guy who, minority leader in the Senate, and is terrified that he's going to get primaried from his left by AOC this coming cycle. And because of that, he knows that holding up this funding will hurt real Americans, but he's willing to do it anyways because he has to do anything he can to show that he's fighting back against President Trump. He's fighting back against House and Senate Republicans. And no matter who it hurts, that's not his concern. He's just trying to show that he's fighting the president, and that's just to protect himself politically. I mean, it's so grotesque to see Democrats politicize government funding the way they are here. But they're doing it because they're terrified of their own political futures from the left.
And what gets me, Congressman, is you have Democrat leadership. We're not talking about, the gadflies in the party. We're talking about Democrat leadership saying that they're using the suffering of the American people as leverage against the Republicans. Who does that? Who has that kind of mindset?
Yeah, I know. It's really sick. And you're right. They've been pretty transparent about that, which I find bizarre and really almost inexplicable. But you've had multiple Democrat senators and members of Congress saying that, whenever these benefits get cut, that gives them more leverage in negotiating with Republicans, saying that pain is what actually helps them politically. I don't think that that's true, but I find it really grotesque that that's how they view the suffering of the American people. The reality is, I think there's an ideological component to all of this as well, which is that Democrats recognize that Illegal aliens are core to their political future as well, and they will go out of their way to provide any kind of welfare or health care benefits at taxpayer expense to those illegal aliens. And I think that's why they're going to the mat here on billions of dollars of health care for illegal aliens, taxpayer-funded Medicaid for illegal aliens, because that is the future of the Democrat Party. That's where they gain so much political force, whether it's from illegal aliens voting or from the presence of illegal aliens impacting congressional apportionment. That is part of their political strategy, and they will go to the mat to defend it.
Congressman, do we have any idea how many people, first of all, illegals are not supposed to be getting any SNAP benefits, but do we have any idea how many illegals, how many legal immigrants into the country are getting food stamps?
Yeah, so we've seen, there have been a variety of studies on this. And at one point, the question was how many illegal alien-headed households are receiving Medicaid benefits? And that percentage was about 39%. According to a recent study.
Wow.
Illegal alien-headed households were receiving Medicaid benefits. That percentage was 25% for the rest of the population. So you see illegal aliens are disproportionately taking more in welfare. So it is a serious problem. And again, that is what the Democrats are going out of their way to defend.
Congressman, there's a headline in The Hill magazine today saying Senate GOP Democrats looking for off-ramp to end the shutdown by next week. Please tell me that we're not going to be compromising here.
No, I mean, there's nothing for us to compromise on.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing is that we went out of our way to put forward a continuing resolution that Democrats would find palatable. It's a clean CR. We could have packed it with all kinds of Republican and conservative priorities, whether it's on pro-life or guns or, you know, cutting massive forms of government spending, things that would have been good policy. We could have done that, and we didn't. We said instead we'll do a clean CR because Democrats have voted for this multiple times in the past, including this year, and we just want to keep the government open. So there's nothing for us to negotiate here. We already went out of our way. We already did something that both parties have agreed to so many times in the past, so there is no negotiating. Democrats responded by saying, we want health care, taxpayer-funded health care for illegal aliens. We want taxpayer-funded state-sponsored media to refund NPR and PBS, and we want tax dollars going to a variety of far-left, weird, woke social programs, and we're saying no. I mean, there's nothing for us to negotiate here.
Congressman Brandon Gill from the Great Texas 26. Congressman, finally, there's a report out from Eric Daughtry, and I know that you reposted it, saying that you are drafting articles of impeachment against Judge James Boasberg. We just had Senator Marsha Blackburn on. She was one of those targeted in that Arctic Frost probe. Can you confirm that information?
Yes, I can. And let me tell you, we filed articles of impeachment against Judge Boasberg earlier this year, actually for something different. That was whenever he politicized his court, demanding that President Trump turn a plane full of Trinidad Aragua terrorists around midair and deposit them back into the United States. Those were terrorists he was deporting. We filed those back in March. But these new Arctic Frost revelations, which are also related to the same judge, are just astounding. I mean, you have a judge who is basically giving a legal approbation to a massive phishing operation and egregious politicization of the Justice Department, the executive branch, and he signed off on all of it, wiretapping senators' cell phones, going up subpoenaing bank records of basically every conservative organization under the sun, including news outlets. I mean, this is so far out there. I mean, this is a far bigger scandal than Watergate. And it absolutely deserves impeachment. I think that that's a just and proper remedy for a judge that is flagrantly politicizing his court. So we're working on that right now. and hope to get that filed, revised articles of impeachment filed soon.
Well, I am glad to hear that. I know a lot of conservatives around the country are very anxious to see that happen as well. Congressman, always good to have you on the show. Thank you for taking time for us today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
All right. Congressman Brandon Gill, everybody, represents the 26th Congressional District there in the great state of Texas. And he's fighting for you. And I love that. And I'm glad that he's filed articles of impeachment. We've got to hold these people accountable, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it really is that simple. Hey, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Anthony in Alabama. Hi, Anthony. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll make it pretty brief because I came down with a bad case of the RSV virus. It's kicking my 71-year-old butt all over the place. But anyway, you know, I'm reading this thing about Boasberg, and this gets frustrating because the senators come out there and they go round and round with their outrage. And my question is have you seen anybody get locked up? Have you seen anybody taken away? Anything going on? And I can appreciate Brandon Gill's, his effort and everything. But I don't think anybody's going to do it. And I don't think anything's going to happen because the Republican Party, I think, is dirty. And it's like they keep tap dancing. They keep doing the Mexican hat dance out there. They're not doing anything. So my question is when is anybody going to do anything? All they do is talk.
Well, it's a fair point, and you heard him bring up the fact that he had already introduced articles of impeachment back in March on another issue related to Judge Boasberg. You know, nothing has happened there. So, I mean, you've got a fair point, and that's my frustration with the administration and with the Republican Party. They have got to be willing to go after these people using every resource under the law. And if we don't, it's only going to happen again when the Democrats get control.
It sure is. Yeah. And I believe that a lot of the Republicans are actually Democrats. Well, rhinos, you know, Republican in name only. They're Democrats. They snuck in under the radar and told everybody, yeah, they're going to do this, that, and the other thing. But they're not going to do anything for us. And you know, they don't do – Ted Cruz was over. I was reading about Ted Cruz demanding accountability for Judge Boasberg's secret subpoenas targeting Republican lawmakers. Now he's targeting Republican lawmakers, but I don't hear anything coming out of these people's mouth when they target the little guy like us.
Yeah, that's –
And it really,
yes.
It really burns me.
No, Anthony, I hear you. It's a great frustration, and that's what we're here for. We're looking out for the little guys. Because Congress, they're just looking out. They're looking out for themselves, and I get it. I understand that. But somebody's got to be looking out for the little guys too. Anthony, I got to run. Hope you get feeling better, my friend. I know it's that time of season when everything, you know, all the allergies and whatnot. Let's go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Well, how are you, Todd? You know, when I heard that Arctic frost phrase, I started to wonder because I'd never heard it before. So I looked it up on Wikipedia, and they're saying that there was no actual investigation called Arctic Frost, that's just something that Grassley titled it. That it was really the January 20th investigation, and that when there were all of those congressmen that were leading the insurrectionists through the Capitol before the January 6th, showing them the secret tunnels and all of the different places in the Capitol, those are the people that are being investigated. Well, and it wasn't called Arctic Frost by the FBI.
No, right? It was. No, David, it actually was called Arctic Frost. That was the name chosen by the FBI and the special agent in charge of the investigation. His name, by the way, is Tebalt. He's identified as the agent who began the case, and the Arctic Frost was the code name for the investigation.
Well, the bigger picture, of course, is that you're trying to downplay January 6th by calling it a different name.
I'm not downplaying anything. This is coming from the FBI, David.
So was January 6th an attempt to destroy America?
No, not at all.
January 6th
No, I don't think we know what January 6th was, other than the fact that you had dozens, if not several hundred, federal agents involved in whatever happened on that day.
Well, that's actually a load of crap, because if you were
no, sir,
say,
it's very was, well documented load of crap, sir.
Who was the president on January 6th?
Donald J. Trump was the president of the United States.
So he ran the FBI, right?
No, sir. No, sir. Listen, David. Donald Trump told Pelosi, told the leaders of Congress he would be willing to have the National Guard brought in, and they dismissed all of the president's concerns, all of them. As a matter of fact, in the documentary that was filmed by Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who just happened to be there on that particular day, you can hear Nancy Pelosi saying that whatever happened was her fault. So, you know, you can call it what you want to, but the reality of it is we don't know, because we have not been able to get to the bottom of who was behind this, what the FBI did, what their role was. Who was it that planted the alleged explosive devices outside RNC and DNC headquarters? None of that information is known, and I'm not willing to say one way or the other until we get the facts. David, gotta run. Thank you for the call. President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely right when it comes to Newsmax. We're talking about millions of people watching Newsmax on cable. They're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. And every night you get to watch great shows like Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, and The Todd Starnes Show. And we expose the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that make America great. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, streaming, download the free app today. Take seconds to start, and let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax for real news for real people. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever, with a limited edition product, a back in stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Wow, that was a pretty insane crowd at the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, hotty toddy. Thousands of people turning out to see Vice President J.D. Vance and Erica Kirk as they kicked off this college tour across America, and pretty remarkable. Coming up in the next hour, we'll play some audio from that really just incredible event. And if you were there, we would love to hear from you. I know a lot of people in our listening area in Memphis, KWAM, went down, made the trip down, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Also, we're getting reports now of grocery stores that are now being targeted, even though SNAP benefits have not dried up yet. That's coming up on November 1. And we're hearing that grocery stores are coming under attack. People are trying to steal stuff. We've got audio, and we're going to play that coming up in the next hour. It's interesting. Adam Carolla did a sit-down interview on a podcast, and he said the average female who gets no free food from the government weighs about 146 pounds, but the average SNAP recipient weighs 211 pounds. That's a pretty remarkable number. But again, it just goes to show you that and there is a cottage industry of people getting their SNAP benefits and then reselling those benefits. So They're using that cash for everything except purchasing good, healthy food for their families. So we're going to get into all of that in the next hour as well. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we'll be talking about that. Also coming up a little bit later, our good friend Luke Symbol is going to drop by, our great Republican strategist. All right, hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As an American, I know I have rights, but I don't always understand how my rights apply in different situations. When I had to use my firearm to stop an intruder, the first thing I did after calling 911 was to contact Attorney Shield. I didn't want to say anything incriminating by answering questions without Attorney Shield's licensed attorney, who connected and stepped in within seconds. She spoke directly with the cops on my behalf, who were already treating me like a suspect. Anyone who cares about defending their rights should check out attorneybutton.com to learn more about the protection they offer and how to join.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us. This is your host, Todd Starnes. People are getting really nervous right now in the supermarket industry. A lot of people are wondering what's going to happen on November the 1st. You know, first of all, I'm not one of these hoarders or preppers. I have great respect for the preppers and the prepper community because people are about to lose their minds. And if you could imagine what it would be like in this country, if God forbid we actually had a real emergency, what would happen? Could you imagine that? I mean, The thought process was people have enough food for, what, 72 hours? And I don't even think they have enough food to get to the next day, as if you are going to starve. Now, here's the deal. If you are a person in desperate need, and I don't know if you're legitimate. I mean, there are some people who legitimately need help from the government, from somebody. And I want to put a pin in that for just a moment because it seems to me, and maybe you disagree, but it seems to me this is ultimately the responsibility of the church, right? The charitable community of America. And I would say leading that at the very top of that would be the local church. Is that not the spiritual, the moral responsibility of the church in America to help the less fortunate? And I know that a lot of churches these days, you guys are super busy. I get that. I mean, you've got the American Idol worship bands, and you've got your cool, hip, funky coffee houses and juice bars. By the way, Dylan, I came up with a great name for it. I'm thinking about franchising this for all the church. Yeah, for the mega churches in America. Mm-hmm. I just think about this in the lobby because everybody's doing coffee, and it's like, you know, it's getting old. Some what do you think about this? King of the Juice. You like it?
I like that a lot, actually.
It's
is it going to be like kombucha or something? Or
I haven't got that far. Juice? I just thought of the name. Maybe orange juice?
Yeah. That'll wake you up.
I don't, because you know a lot. And then the churches, they're doing the Pilates class and the yoga studios and the gyms.
Right.
And then some of them actually have cafes and restaurants now.
There's several businesses inside churches now.
It's remarkable. You know what's interesting about that? All of those, the bookstores, the Christian bookstores.
Yeah.
If it's inside the church, guess what? It's nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to pay any taxes. Now, this is who I feel bad for. I feel bad for the guy who actually owns a gym and actually goes to that church. So his own church is working against him.
Right.
Tax free. And I feel bad for the coffee houses and for the restaurants and the diners. I feel bad for I don't feel bad for the local bars and restaurants because they need musical entertainment, right?
Yes.
So I'm
I think bars are pretty safe.
I do too. Yeah. It's nothing again. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying. But you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the smoke and the mirrors and like all of the theatrical stuff. So we're doing all of this stuff, and I don't think there's anything inherently wrong in that. However, some are doing like the daycare centers, and I think that's appropriate. Some are doing Christian schools. I think that's appropriate. But when you're literally turning your church into a shopping mall, then I do begin to wonder, all right, can we talk about priorities here? Because ultimately, the church was the place to go to if you were needing a helping hand. The church was the place to go to if you could not afford your electricity for a month. Or they would, you know, the pastor or somebody at the church would go to your landlord and work out some sort of a payment schedule, a payment plan. So I'm just wondering here, maybe part of the big problem here, the reason why so many people are just latched in to government assistance is because the church isn't there and the church hasn't been doing its job. And when you look at the numbers of people on government assistance, and this is not a stretch here, and hear me, I think Adam Carolla, I want to play this clip from Adam Carolla. He was talking about the average person. I don't know if he was being serious or facetious here. I mean, the numbers are real, but I'm not sure if he was trying to make a joke, but let's take a listen.
You know, I was reading that SNAP's going to run out, you know, and 40 million people are going to go.
40 million.
40 million. Okay, listen to me, everybody. This whole thing of like 40 million people are going to go hungry. First off, those 40 million people average an extra 40 pounds on them over the average working American. If you took the average person that's on SNAP getting free food and the average person that gets no free food from the government, the average female who gets no free food from the government is 146 pounds. The average SNAP recipient is 211 pounds. So
this
is it a
case
food?
Point. This is our case
I know. First off, we talk about going hungry. Nobody could benefit from a nice fast more than the SNAP recipients.
I mean, a fast is not a bad thing. You want to do a little cleansing there. I think that's perfectly reasonable. But the point Carolla is making is a good one, because when you go and you look at folks that are on SNAP, by and large, most of them are large. And the question then becomes, okay, do they understand nutrition? Are they understanding, you know, that they need to be using healthy food? They need to be using that SNAP money for healthy food? Because right now it's anything goes. And all you know what broke loose when the suggestion was made from President Trump, well, maybe, just maybe, we need to be putting limitations on what people can purchase. Is it better that you drink water as opposed to, I don't know, you know, Dr. Pepper? Well, not Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's it's healthy. It's healthy for you, but it's for medicinal purposes. But what about a Coca-Cola? Are you saying you're better off using your SNAP money for that as opposed to drinking water or getting milk or orange juice? I really like that King of the Juice. That's good. Just for churches. Franchise to the churches. We need all that to say, is the government really helping people here, or does the government really want people, do they want them reliant upon them for all of their needs, for their housing, for their clothing, for their food, for their health care? Because that's what's happening now. Now you have generations of people. I mean, you want to talk about building wealth, generational wealth. You think that's going to happen under the current system, what LBJ has done to this country? Going all the way back to the so-called Great Society, LBJ was literally, LBJ was literally, and I do mean this, literally hell-bent on making sure that the less fortunate always voted for Democrats. He wanted them to rely, and then whenever they would have an election, they would warn people, if the Republicans get in charge, your benefits are going to go away. Let's go to the phones. April, listening to us on 97.7 FM in Ohio. Hello, April. What's on your mind today?
Yes. Hi, Todd. Love your show. Really do. I really love your show. I listen to it every single day.
Thank you. I feel a butt coming, though.
I don't call radio stations either. But I think there is some, I don't know the word for it, insinuation that every single person that gets SNAP assistance does not work and that they are lazy and bad and they just sit on their butts all day, because that is just not, that's not the case. If you can work a full-time job, which where I am at is probably like 32 hours of 32 hours of paycheck, because that's what they say is full-time here. And you could still get some kind of partial SNAP assistance, whether it's $100 or $200. It's still something, because you don't make enough to pay all the bills. And I'm not saying you can't get a better job. Some people just can't do that. They don't have the means to do that. But and the elderly, I work with, I'm a home health aide. I see what some of these people get. And food assistance that get SSI or Social Security that have worked their entire lives, and they get like $37 a month in food benefits. They actually really need that. And veterans too. They need, I mean, they don't make enough during the month.
I hear exactly, I hear what you're saying, April, and I hope that I've been clear, clearly I may not have been clear, that there are some people in this country who do need these benefits, and that's who they are for. But, you know, no one can tell me that 42 million Americans legitimately need SNAP benefits. I just cannot believe that. And when you throw into that number 39%, and you heard, I don't know if you were listening in the last hour, but we had Congressman Brandon Gill on. He said 39% of illegal alien households, households with an illegal alien in the family, 39% of those families are getting SNAP benefits. That to me is an abomination, because it takes away from the people who legitimately need that money.
I absolutely agree. I totally agree with that.
So let me ask you, so you're in a job situation where you're only allowed to work 32 hours. Is that where they cut it off? You can't work a 40-hour week?
Well, unless they want you to. Sometimes it's 35 hours. Sometimes it's less. So what happens is it kind of, if you make less, your job pays you, gives you less hours. Like, I take care of people, so sometimes someone will pass away and then they're going to find you another client. That may take a week or two, so you, your hours will go down to like 25 hours a week. Well, you can't just report that and then have them fix your SNAP benefits. It doesn't work like that. So basically you're just hanging until you get somebody else. It just depends. Sorry.
And the way
I'm talking
the,
too much.
No, you're doing fine. Look, it's a great call, April rather. And I think you're raising some good points here. So here's the deal. If you have a job and that job is not, if you're not making a certain amount of money, then you are in fact eligible to get SNAP benefits. So, but it has to be below a certain limit. Now, there are some people that are out there and they're taking advantage of this, but there are others who are working hard and this is as, it's as good as they can do. And at that point, the government steps in and says, here, we can lend you a helping hand.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with everything that you're saying. I just know it's really hard for some people. Some people don't have family. Like myself, when my husband left, we'll just say that. And when he just left, I had two kids that were both school age kids. And I have pretty much no family, but I had to be home to get them on and off the bus. And so finding a job that lets you only work from like 8:30 to 2:30 is really hard. So them were the jobs that I had to take, and to subsidize, I needed that food help. Now, when during COVID, when they were needing people to work, everybody was raising wages around here, which was great. Don't get me wrong, that was fantastic. But then all the rent went up, so I was paying $550. Now I'm paying $850. Now the wages are back down. I'm still paying $850.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
But you see, April, it seems to me, I mean, the way you're describing things, I mean, you're doing it the right way. I mean, you, this is a circumstance completely out of your control. Your husband leaves you and, you know, you're out there trying to find work. You've got to take care of your kids and the government has resources for you. So you're doing it the right way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want it to seem like everybody is not doing what they're supposed to do.
No. You're not. Let me ask you. You're not going out and buying a lobster, are you, down at the Kroger?
No.
Absolutely not. So, all right. April, God bless you. Thank you for listening. You did a great job as a first-time caller, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Good luck to you, April. And there are people like April that wanted that, you know, they want to be independent. They want to get out there and live on, and stand on their own 2 feet. But sometimes things happen and, you know, you need a helping hand. All right. We got to take a break here. Oh, by the way, our good buddy, Matt from Patriot Talk 920, he's come up with another idea for the Mega Church Juice Bar, which if you missed that conversation, I'm thinking about franchising called King of the Juice. And so all the mega churches come put it in their church lobby. And Matt says, how about this? Turn the other peach, a peach juice for your mega church. Matt, I love this. I love this idea. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, on deck in Ocala, Florida, WOCA, our good friend Richard. Hi, Richard. What's going on?
Howdy, Mr. Todd. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the SNAP program. I heard that lady, you interviewed her, and I want to say up front, people that really need it, like that lady that was working and raising two kids, like old people, I'm all for they need assistance, and I think most Americans is for them getting it. But I was telling the gentleman that I had an aunt 45 years ago that worked in a grocery store, and she was married, and they had two kids, and they both worked full-time jobs. And they had a home, not nothing elaborate, but a nice home they're paying for and probably a couple cars. But she said what bothered her, she said people would come in there with food stamps in the grocery store and buy the choicest meats. I mean, T-bone steaks and top choice roast beefs. And she said her and her husband couldn't afford to eat that high on the hog. They, you know, maybe lunch meat and hamburger meat and buy stuff on sale, but they was paying for theirs. And she said what really bothered her is when they'd buy $100 worth of, or, you know, a whole elaborate bunch of groceries and then pull a $100 bill out of their pocket to pay for their cigarettes and their alcohol. And, I just think stuff like that is wrong. And you mentioned the president maybe making a change that they only can get certain type of foods, and I'm all for that. Milks and dairy products and potatoes and beans and rice and healthy foods, and I think that's a good thing to do, to move forward. If they want to buy their unhealthy foods, they can pay for them out of their pocket. And so that's just my thoughts on it.
You know, Richard, I think it's a smart thing. I was just watching a video on TikTok, and this black lady was doing this, going on this diatribe. And she was like, the reason why most Americans are not enraged over this, you're not seeing a lot of uprising, is because everybody knows that the system is being rigged and that these folks are coming in and they're selling off their SNAP benefits, and they're using that money to pay for, you know, hair appointments, getting their nails done, anything other than what the money was supposed to be used for.
Mr. Todd, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've worked a lot of street people, and I've heard them say over the years, there's different, some of these little stores that will give them 50 cents on the dollar, and they would, of course, they was trading their food stamps in for money to get drugs and alcohol. But I think there ought to be a way of regulating that, a better job of it, and the people that don't need it need kicked off of it. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, 10,000% right there, Richard. I've got to run, my friend. We're coming up on a break. But, Richard, great call, and it's a great point. And again, I think a lot of people are understanding, as Richard pointed out, people are also selling their food stamps for drugs. So it's a mess, and we've got to get it fixed. And look, I know as painful as this is, the Republicans need to let this happen so we can figure out who really needs it and who doesn't. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
In the market for a used vehicle? Look no further than Werner Hyundai. All of our certified pre-owned vehicles must pass our 173-point inspection and all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. You heard right. Certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, all with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So come in and drive one away today. Certified the Werner way. Werner Hyundai, the place to go for the better CPO.
Are you ready?
All right. Wow, that was a pretty fired up crowd there. By the way, that's the Ole Miss. That was your vice president, J.D. Vance, leading 14,000 people there at Ole Miss in the Ole Miss cheer, which is part of the Hottie Toddy cheer. No connection to me at all. And he says, are you ready? And the fans are responding with, let's see here, Hottie Toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Hey, flim flam, bim bam, Ole Miss by damn. Wow, Luke Symbol. Our Republican strategist here. That was an epic thing yesterday.
What a pick-me-up. You know, if you weren't excited before listening to that, you're excited now. That is so encouraging to have thousands of students just fired up to talk about American first principles. I just love it.
Well, what I was really surprised by is the Vice President of the United States took questions from kids, and these were all unscripted, uncensored questions.
For an hour, he spoke, and he did not know what he was going to speak about. And anybody could ask a question. They got in line. Some of them were hard. Some of them were just, hey, we support the president. What can we do to help? Others were, he got into religion and his wife's religion and how they, he's praying for his wife to come to know the Lord. I mean, he is so raw and real and is connecting. And last night, there was a cheer that started where folks were so excited, they started cheering 48 over and over again because he was connecting so well with the crowd.
You know, that has been a big conversation. Who does carry the mantle after Trump? And I know President Trump says he would love to run for a third term. I don't see anywhere around, any way around the Constitution on that, even though Tommy Tuberville seems to think that may be the case.
And Steve Bannon is.
And Steve Bannon. Well,
yeah, Steve Bannon thinks that we are all crazy for not knowing that Trump can still run. But look, I'm so encouraged by this American First movement that is spreading across the campuses. We saw it in the 2024 election when you had all the really pretty sorority girls out there dancing to YMCA and waving American flags and the fraternity brothers, huge Trump banners hanging from the frat houses. I love it. It is cool to be conservative. Young, attractive people just join the Republican Party and fight for your country.
I mean, it really is it's really a cultural phenomenon that's happened here. And much like we saw when Reagan was running for office after the Jimmy Carter presidency. And what's amazing is you don't have any of the mainstream media buying into this. This is so organic and grassroots.
Yeah, and it's social media. I don't know if I think it was maybe the New Yorker or one of the liberal rag magazines after Trump was elected at the inauguration, had a picture of, remember those young conservatives at one of the inaugural balls, and it said something like the mean hot conservatives. I don't remember what the tagline was, but it was trying to make fun of the fact that conservatives are young and hot.
Yeah.
and Turning Point, I mean, you look at the Turning Point, the folks who run Turning Point, and Ann Elizabeth Matheny, who runs here in Memphis and across the Mid-South. She has several states under her control. They're just like really attractive, fun people to hang out with, and it's refreshing. And the left just looks so curmudgeon. The purple-haired hippies who are 90 years old standing out at the street corners for the No Kings rallies, they just look old and so out of touch. And it's just, I'm still getting, it's like a pinch me moment still. I'm getting used to this.
So we've got a couple of big stories coming up next week, next Tuesday, really. We're looking at three big races, Virginia, New Jersey, and the New York City mayor's race. I'm not sure what to make of this. And, they say that a lot of these off-cycle elections are all local. We really shouldn't read anything into it. It shouldn't be read as, pro or anti-Trump. What do you say to that?
No, I mean, we did see 4 years ago a backlash to a lot of the woke nonsense in Virginia when Youngkin was elected. I do think that these local elections are spurring on national conversations. When you have a radical Muslim running for the mayor of New York, a literal communist running to be the mayor of New York, it spurs on a national conversation. And so, yes, and we need to remember all politics is local too. Even when you're running a national election, you have to connect on the local issues, the kitchen table issues that people care about. I saw polling when I was walking in to the studio, Todd, that in New Jersey, for in-person and early in-person voting, Republicans, the polling was showing that Republicans had the edge and had a pretty large edge. The only edge that Democrats had in New Jersey for voting was mail-in ballots.
Really?
And that is concerning to me. And it was this mail-in ballot situation we have got to get a handle on. I don't know what we need to do. I don't know if we just need to have a holiday where everybody goes and votes in person, but these mail-in ballots are ridiculous. No other civilized country does this, and I think there's huge momentum in New Jersey. It's really, really encouraging, but when you have a lot of mail-in ballots, it just makes me concerned.
You've got about a dozen Democrat mayors, mm-hmm, in New Jersey that have endorsed Jack Cittarelli, who's run a pretty darn good campaign. It's one of those weird states where it's not super, super conservative. It's sort of like a Kansas where they flip-flop, like really Virginia as well, where they flip-flop between the two. I would say the caveat with Virginia is that the suburbs surrounding Washington, D.C. skew the entire state because the entire state goes red.
It is very true. I had a friend who's now working for the Trump administration who just moved to Northern Virginia, conservative, is moving his family to one of those suburbs, and he said he is the only conservative on his street, and he pulled up in his Ford F-150 and his wife pulled up in the minivan and the four kids got out, and he said all the neighbors just were like, what is going on? Do we have conservatives on our streets?
My only concern about all of this is the economy, and mm-hmm, yes. I hear from so many conservative young people who are just struggling to buy that first house, to really strike out on their own, and I've heard from a lot of folks who are saying, well, we lived with our parents, and then we bought our first house. It was $15,000. Okay, those days are gone.
They're gone, and you're exactly right. 56% of college graduates in May are still looking for work. And I was looking at some of the data on this. These aren't theater majors we're talking about. These are computer science degrees, physics degrees. American college students are graduating, many of whom with important degrees, and they are being replaced by I think it's still foreign labor. And so I agree with you, Todd, that the two big issues that are related here now nationally is inflation or the economy and immigration. And I think they are very, very connected.
Well, we did a story. There's a story, and we talked about it a few days ago, involving FedEx.
Yes.
And how they're laying off all these workers, and they're replacing the American-born workers with H-1B visas and, of course, holders. And you've got what the head of FedEx happens to be Indian-American. And you wonder, I was flying back to Memphis from somewhere, and the entire plane was filled with Indian-Americans. And I'm like, oh,
to any tech department of any major corporation in the United States, and that's what you'll find. You know, H-1B Vice President J.D. Vance touched on this yesterday at Ole Miss. Those visas were meant to be for geniuses, very rarely used, perhaps really smart people that were here in school and were geniuses, and we wanted to keep their talent in our country because nobody else had that unique talent. They are it's totally abused now. And so it is very frustrating to see companies like FedEx, Amazon, others using these H-1B visas. However, who I blame is Washington. And now is the perfect time to seize this economic hurt that people are feeling and say, part of the reason is your labor is being replaced and we are putting an end to it. Until we have more people, more Americans participating in the workforce, we are accepting nobody new in this country. Nobody new.
I completely agree. So the issue is, I believe we've got a problem not just with illegal immigration, but legal immigration.
That is the litmus test. I've been telling Republican candidates this, the litmus test for whether you understand the American populace is not illegal immigration. That's an easy answer. We don't want it. It's the legal immigration issue. And are you willing to stand up to the chamber who wants cheap labor and wants to replace Americans? That's the question.
It is. I mean, what do you tell a guy who's been working 20, 25 years at FedEx and he's called in and says, well, we're giving your job to an Indian American and we're going to pay them less money. So you've done nothing wrong, but we've just got to make some money. We got to make up some money here. Boom, you're gone.
Well, that's exactly right. And I was looking at the average wage for the H-1B visa holders at FedEx. It was like $140,000. And you cannot tell me that a recent Ole Miss graduate with a computer science degree is not smarter than a lot of this foreign labor coming in and could not do a better job making $140,000 than a foreigner. That is unacceptable to me, and I'm grateful that we're having this conversation. And Todd, you are exactly right. The economy should make us very nervous, and if we want to continue the momentum we are seeing with younger voters and joining the conservative side, we have got to articulate a message that we are fighting for them, and we are going to protect their interests before the interests of foreign countries.
Luke Symbol joining us, our great Republican strategist. Luke, before we let you go, how are things going in Memphis? We've had the big surge of the National Guard troops. Week four now?
Oh my gosh, it is like a different city. It is a new vibe. You can feel law and order returning. We have a highway loop around the city, and I drive the speed limit now because there are so many highway patrol, and our police are, because the federal agents are here rounding up the routine criminals, the local police can start patrolling our streets again and restoring law and order. And Todd, I know you do not accept thanks well at all, but your question on this very show to President Trump asking if he would consider sending the National Guard to Memphis. You were talking about D.C. and he had just started that operation in D.C. and you said Memphis needs help. And it is because of that question that you planted it in Donald Trump's mind, President Trump's mind, and suddenly it gained momentum and it made national news. And it was almost like the administration couldn't then go another way. And it's because of your question. And we thank you. And we thank you, President Trump. And we thank our federal partners for spending the resources here, because our city was in a very, very bad state. And honestly, Todd, your question may just very well save the city of Memphis. And so thank you so much.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Luke. And yeah,
I don't accept compliments. You just need to accept it. I had 60 seconds of thanking you. You'll just have to get over it.
By the way, the Daily Memphian, you know, the leftist rag, they called me up wanting to comment. And I thought, oh, what the heck? I was feeling in a good mood. They did a story on the, there's a boycott effort. So they've got these leftists and they're trying to boycott any restaurant that wants to give a National Guard member a free meal or a discounted meal. And I pointed out how awful that was because, number one, it hurts the restaurant owner, but it also hurts the workers who are this demographic that really need that paycheck.
It's ridiculous. You have, and you see this in cities across the country, you have very well-funded small groups of radical activists who are very, very loud, and they somehow make a lot of money. I wonder who's funding it, Tom.
And, well, look, and the funny thing here is they got so much blowback. Now they're saying, no, we just meant the boycotts as a good thing to protect the city. Please, just, you know, take the loss, go home.
The vibe in Memphis is completely different. And, I mean, I think it's going to have – this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. Thank you for having a part of it. But I think we're cleaning up our city, and it's just amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to see.
Well, up next, I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte, North Carolina – it's insane over at Charlotte, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Luke Symbol, thank you as always. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Hey, check out toddstearns.com during the break. We have some great news stories just posted. We'll be right back.
Winter in Gulf County, Florida, where the coast comes alive with holiday cheer and seasonal delights. From the magical Christmas on the Coast Parade to the mouthwatering chili cook-off and the Snowbird Appreciation Golf Tournament, there's something for everyone. Whether you're ringing in the new year over St. Joseph Bay or exploring the Buffer Preserve, you'll experience the winter charm like never before. Ready to plan your getaway? Go to visitgulf.com/events for all the exciting events. Gulf County, where every season feels like home.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phones. Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Joe, what's going on?
Todd, my friend, Trump is the best president in history with the best talk show, with the support of the best talk show in history, the great Todd Starnes. Todd, I've never seen anything like it. I'm a stock market guy, and the market just continues to hit all-time highs, and I just think Trump is by far, by far the best president leader in history. He's just a natural leader, and I know you support him, and we're down here in L&J, we just love Trump, and we think the future is great, and I just can't believe the stock market continues to go up and hit all-time highs just about every day.
Yeah, that is looking good. There was a story on Market Watch. I don't know if you caught the headline, Joe, of being a money guy, but it says inflation is quietly chipping away at most Americans' main source of wealth. How soon do you think we're going to be able to see a dramatic, or will we see a dramatic or steady decrease in inflation?
Well, Todd, I think it's beginning to happen, and I think in the next year it will dramatically go down as the stock market. And also, too, they're going to be cutting interest rates, and that will help to curtail inflation. So I think 6 months from now, in my judgment, there will be no. There'll be some inflation, but it'd be very reduced, and we'll be thinking about the market as it continues to hit all-time highs. And I think with your support and support from good people like you all over the country, I've never felt better, Todd, about the future of America and the future of my children and grandchildren, and I appreciate all you do. You just please keep up the great work you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. Always good to hear from you, sir, and thanks for checking in the beautiful North Georgia Mountains. By the way, if you haven't ever been up there during apple season, they host the Great Georgia Apple Festival. They're in Ella J, Georgia. It's in early October. It's absolutely beautiful. The leaves, the scenery, the mountains, you will absolutely love it. And, of course, you got to go by and see Joe from Ella J. He's sort of like the king of Ella J. When he's not in Sea Island, somebody told me, who was it? Oh, our good buddy Josh Jones going on a big corporate retreat. And I said, oh, where's the retreat going to be? And he said, Jekyll Island. And I said, oh, you're going to have a blast. What a great place to. Dylan, we don't do trips like that.
Not quite. No.
I think our corporate retreat is what, to Waffle House?
Hey, and that's just as good.
Hey, yeah, you don't have to travel far.
It's an all-star special.
Scattered, covered, and smothered. Mm. That's what I'm talking about. So there you go. By the way, have you seen Cracker Barrel? They put a funny meme out there.
I have not seen Cracker Barrel's new meme.
Cracker Barrel says that they're actually building a massive restaurant on the east wing of the White House.
Ah.
So it's really not a ballroom. It's a Cracker Barrel.
I wouldn't clever. Mind. I wouldn't mind.
It's clever. And by the way, Steak and Shake, you know, they're switching over the oil that they make their French fries in, and they're calling it, you know, they're all in on the whole golden age of President Trump. And so the fry boxes are actually golden, not actual real gold, but they're golden.
That's very smart.
It's still pretty cool. You know what else is smart? It is smart if you purchase a copy of my new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, and it makes a wonderful Christmas gift. I am telling you, your loved one is going to love this little devotion book. It also has some great recipes, and you're going to love those as well. Star Spangled Blessings, a wonderful stocking stuffer, small enough you can put a bow on it, and you can plop it in somebody's Christmas stocking. Again, our telephone number is, or rather, you can get the book at Amazon or wherever you buy your books. Again, whether that's a Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you name it, you'll also be able to get a copy on my website, toddstearns.com. So be sure to check that out. And also be sure to give us a call. Now, the number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I think the drugs are kicking in. That means hour three could be a little weird. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. So the clock is ticking. We're down to 1 day, 16 hours, 56 minutes until SNAP benefits run out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. I know a lot of people are freaking out, but most Americans are just like, how is it possible that 42 million of our fellow citizens are in need of government assistance? How is that possible? How many illegal alien households are getting SNAP benefits? We understand 39%. Even if it's just one person, that's one too many, because that's money, those are resources that could be going to everyday Americans in need and not somebody else. So we're following all the developments here. There have been some instances where grocery stores have actually been targeted. And this is not cool at all. As a matter of fact, take a listen to, I believe, Cut 7.
Look, this is the moment a suspected shoplifter attacks this 18-year-old Food Lion worker, shoving him around in the back room of a store and throwing blows. This happened Monday, October 20th, at this Food Lion in the 2200 block of Park Road. I returned to the spot with Detective Ashley Phillips of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Crime Stoppers.
We had two subjects go inside. They went to scan their items at the self-checkout. We had an employee that was just doing his job, decided to go over when he observed them not scanning items.
That's when the confrontation began. Surveillance footage shows one of the alleged thieves go face-to-face with the teen employee. They start moving, eventually entering a back room where the tussle begins. One of the alleged thieves throwing blows, even attempting to kick the worker while he is down. The alleged shoplifting accomplice watches while a shopper tries to intervene.
It's unfortunate. Any act of violence is senseless. When we have self-checkouts, that it just presents an opportunity for people who are not doing the right thing, thieves, to take items and commit crimes.
After the attack, the two suspected thieves casually walk out of the Food Lion as if nothing has happened. What advice do you have for other people who work in businesses like this one and happen to see someone doing something illegal?
Yeah, Alex, we want to suggest to everyone that is in the store, that working as an employee, just step back and observe and then collect as much information as you can and call 911 so that way police can respond and you don't have to interfere with someone committing a crime.
Get another look at the individuals police are attempting to identify. The surveillance footage has Detective Phillips hopeful that someone will recognize these two.
The images and the surveillance, they're very clear. I'm hoping that someone will see it and call it in. We typically get, we get some good tips, and I'm very grateful for that.
Wow. What a story. And I suspect we're going to see more of this as November 1 comes around. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee, Terry is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Terry. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I got a big hell state to those Ole Miss folks down there last night. After all, they can't be too smart. After all, they did go to Ole Miss, right?
Well, but, Terry, I mean, they had the Vice President of the United States on campus.
I guess we should give them credit for that.
Yeah, they did. You know what? They gave the president or the vice president a warm welcome. They asked some great questions. And I think on those kinds of moments, those of us in SEC territory, we can set aside our differences on the football field for just one day.
Yeah, we can do that.
Very good. You see, you're a gracious man, Terry. Thank you. What's going on? Yeah.
Well, you know, all these SNAP benefits going on, you know, I think the government should simply get out of the way and let the churches handle it. private charity handle it.
I mean, there was a time in this country, Terry, where if you did not work, you did not eat. And that was a pretty darn good incentive to go and work.
That's one of my main points for letting the churches, turning it over to the churches. You know, the government isn't even going to try to filter out the people as just gaming the system. The churches will do 100% better job.
You know, not only that, Terry, I think that, you know, the broader issue is now you've got a generation of families that have been broken. You know, there's no father in the household. And what better way for the church to come in and help, you know, help establish some consistency, bring some order to families? I mean, basically do what the church is supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and as far as I can see, all the government is doing is interfering with the church's work. That's not the government's job.
No, it's not. But let's get real. The church has abdicated that authority to the government, so there's that.
Well, that's true, too.
All right, Justin, Terry, I appreciate you calling in, and it's a good thought. Let's now go to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. So I was just thinking, Halloween is right before, this whole SNAP benefits are supposed to expire. So I know in my neighborhood, there's carloads of kids that get dropped off from Memphis and Mississippi into my neighborhood that like to trick-or-treat because I live in a great neighborhood and everybody participates in the holidays. So, I was thinking maybe instead of handing out candy, I'll hand out canned goods to some of the people that maybe their SNAP benefits have expired. I don't know how well that'll go over with the trick-or-treaters.
Oh, jeez. So instead of like a delicious Zagnut bar, you would give them like a can of green beans.
Yes, but yeah.
Yeah, you're getting rolled. Your house is getting rolled, Justin.
Yeah. So I didn't call him because of this, but I'd like to add on. You were talking to Luke Symbol, especially about the IT jobs at FedEx. So it's very interesting. You know, you have to look at a lot of the incentives we put in place for these companies to operate, especially FedEx. In 2016, you can look this up. This was an argument about FedEx going out and basically getting rid of American workers and hiring foreign workers to the HB1. And the town of Collierville gave FedEx a $75 million tax break through the pilot. Basically, they didn't pay their property taxes and other taxes. So, you know, we have to stop incentivizing these companies to do this because they're basically using our own tax dollars to work against the American workers. So that's just my couple of thoughts on that.
Justin, it angers me. I was reading that story earlier this week, and every paragraph I read, I became angrier and angrier. And the idea that FedEx is again getting rid of hardworking Americans and replacing them with Indian Americans, I got a big problem with that.
Well, and so before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, he went on Tucker Carlson and he talked about this issue, especially with our youth that are graduating with all these degrees and they can't find jobs. So you have to look, there's going to be a big vacuum if we're not employing our American workers. So they start rationalizing and think things like socialism are acceptable because we're using our own tax dollars to work against the American workers. So we better get a hold of this before, something else fills the vacuum.
No, I'm with you. There is there's a story out that and multiple stories, but these are the headlines. Donald Trump's support among young people hits rock bottom. That's Newsweek. Trump's approval hits new low for second term. That's according to a poll posted by The Hill. And Donald Trump's support among Gen Z eroding. I just really hope, and Justin, there's a great divide here because if you're of a certain income bracket, you're doing fine right now. But if you're just entering the workforce and you're trying to buy that first house or car or whatever, you are struggling. And those are the young people, and they're not liking what's happening right now in the economy.
Yeah, well, and that's what you're seeing is playing out in New York because Mondami's message, it's socialism, but it's appealing to that youth that is, they're on that whole buy now, pay later. They can't afford rent. They're still living at their parents' house. They're in debt. So we need, you know, especially if this is going to be the golden age, you can't have the golden age without a resurgence of middle-class America.
And that's it. And you're absolutely right. And we've got it. We cannot take our eyes off of that. Otherwise, we're going to have some challenges in the midterm elections. That's what I'm afraid of here.
Well, I think to the point, especially with youth, because I listen to a lot of younger podcasts, and a lot of the youth are saying, especially about the MAGMA movement, if you're not going to be American first with everything, we're just not going to vote. Or we're going to vote for somebody else, which ultimately I think what they'll do is they'll just stay home. So Republicans always do this. We always get the majority, but they need to start keeping all their promises. And this is not just Donald J. Trump. It's our Congress and our Senate. They need to get things passed that benefit the American people.
Justin, there's a great movie. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it was on Netflix or Amazon Prime, one of those. It's called Charlie Wilson's War. And it had an all-star cast, but it's actually the true story of how we got involved in the Afghanistan war. This was back in the Reagan era. And it's a great story, but at the end of it, it explains the problem with the Republicans, because they provided the Afghans all the tools necessary to defeat the Soviet Union. But at the end of the day, that was it. So there was an opportunity for us to go in and rebuild the schools and rebuild the infrastructure. And the government said, no, why would we do that? We're done. And the problem is nobody over there actually knew it was the Americans who defeated the Soviets, and they became our enemies. So, again, we've got to follow through with the education. We've got to make sure that we're doing what we said we were going to do in the first place. And as great as things have been, right now, we have to admit that things are just not going well with the economy for younger Americans.
Yeah, and I think so we've been doing great about, you know, focusing on illegal immigration, but the immigration system, especially with the sponsorship of H-B1 visas, we need to put some kind of pause on at least like a 10-year pause before we can get our feet underneath our belt, because there's no reason that it's $100,000 a year jobs that we're outsourcing, especially for the IT sector. And this has happened all across America. I've seen reports where Gap, there was Navy Federal that was happening. Their whole IT department was basically getting replaced by foreigners, that we're not offering those jobs first to Americans before anybody else.
And that's unacceptable. And I did see that report about Navy Federal Credit Union, and they're outsourcing all of these jobs. Again, it's not that we just have an illegal immigration problem. We got a legal immigration problem, and we got to get that nipped in the bud. Shame on FedEx. And I'm telling you, that's going to change the entire culture of that company, Justin. You watch.
Well, it's already, especially, I hate to keep harping on this, with Collierville, it's already changing the makeup of Collierville. They've got some classes, that same article that you wrote in, that 80% of the students are non-speaking English students in the class. And this is Collierville. This isn't like Memphis. This is basically MAGA country. So what does that say to the base of your voters? I mean, I don't see any difference between what's happened in Springfield, Ohio, what's happened in Collierville, Tennessee, wow, where you're basically bringing in a foreign workforce.
Wow. Justin, great information. And thanks for bringing that to our attention. But we've got to deal with this, folks. We have to. Justin, thank you for that call. Let's go to David in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Hi, David. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm going to continue on the conversation about the IT and H-1C visas and all that stuff. I work in that environment. I've worked in it for 25 years, and I still got 4 or 5 years before I can retire, and I'm already looking at the possibility of getting laid off in the next few months. And it's going to be tough to find a job. And because these companies, I mean, I watched the layoff notices. Every company is laying off. FedEx, UPS, a whole host of different companies are laying off. That's all you see. And between that and the tariffs kicking in, and hurting the consumer. The devaluation of the U.S. dollar. My dollar, I mean, I make good money. I make over $100K. And when I go to Walmart, get groceries, it'll cost me $100 for four bags, if that much. And, Trump's economy is, it may be great for that guy, that Joe guy. He was crowing about the stock market. Who cares about the stock market when hometown or Main Street is drowning? They don't care about that. They care about, day to day living. And Trump's not doing anything about it. I mean, he just basically just washed his hands of it because it's a tough fix. And he likes stuff that's fast, quick, and dirty and get it over with and move on to the next thing. We need somebody in there that's fighting for the consumer, and we don't have anybody. And Trump claims this and claims that, but I ain't seen much of it come out of here in a long time. He basically stopped talking about taking care of the working man. And that was all you ever heard when he was out campaigning, the working man this, working man that. Well, he ain't doing much for him.
No, they're not right now, David, and that's the problem. And, we've got to make sure that the working class in this country are front and center of this administration. And the idea, and I know that Trump has slapped a big, if you want an H-1B visa, you got to pay, $100,000+. I get that, but these big companies are willing to take that. They're willing to pay that price because they're workers, and they're going to make their money in the long term by getting this cheap labor in here. And that has to stop. It is unacceptable that Americans are losing jobs only because they're being replaced by cheap labor being imported from a place like India.
These companies should be penalized because they're getting tax breaks and all that. Every American they lay off, they get a tax break on.
Yeah.
And they need to be severely punished. And that'll stop a bunch of this mess because in this business I'm in, you never know anymore day to day whether you're going to have a job or not.
Yeah, that's not right.
You may walk in right now. I'm wondering if I'm going to have a job in 3 months, and I'm 63 years old. I still got 5 years to go before I can retire, and I'm going to have to get out and hunt, and it's going to be tough. And when I'm competing against some Indian, I don't mean to sound racist, but when I'm competing against a foreigner, I don't have a dog's chance.
No, sir. No, you don't. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, David, and that is not right. And let me say this, and David, I got to run for a break here, and I appreciate you calling in. Let me say this. On this program, we stand up for the American people, and that includes the American working class. I don't work off talking points, and so if the administration needs to do something in this area, we're going to call them out on it, and we are. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, we just got a call from a lady, and she didn't want to tell us where she lives, what state she's in, and I completely understand. But she said that, Todd, I work for a corporation in America that fired the accounting department just so they could train Indians overseas. I seem to recall a story. One of the big wireless companies actually did that. They brought in all the Indian Americans. And they told the staff, the Americans, hey, you've got to train these people, and then you're fired. And people were literally walking out. They said, forget that. I'm not going to do that. Not at all. Again, a legal immigration problem as well as an illegal problem. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a jam-packed program for you. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of big stories to cover. And you can watch that, of course, on Newsmax starting at 5 o'clock. We've been talking to you a lot over the past couple of weeks about the influence that young conservatives are having within the Republican Party. And really, that impact is now overflowing onto so many university campuses. One of those campuses is right here in Memphis. So a few days ago, we were so honored to have the president of the Young Americas Foundation on with us. And now we've got the president of the Turning Point USA chapter, Pierce Matthews, joining us. Pierce, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So this is pretty exciting. TPUSA, and normally if you're a freshman, you're focused on so many other things. Tell me about why it was so important to make sure that you guys have a TPUSA chapter there.
I feel like the movement was really inspired by the martyrdom, Charlie Kirk. It was very emotional to see someone that a lot of conservative Christians look up to get essentially publicly executed in front of thousands of people. And really, we have, like, alumni, students have been wanting a conservative voice on campus for years. That's why it was Turning Point. We saw Charlie Kirk. We were like, okay, it inspired us to bring this movement on campus.
Did you guys have any trouble with the administration getting the group approved to be on campus?
At this moment, we're not registered, but we have not run into many issues with administration. So the student body is different. They seem very opposed to us.
So I'm not surprised by that. And the reason I ask, I got a message from Jack, who was the YAF chapter president, and said they did get approved. But he said the questions they were asking were so grossly offensive, you know, just sort of off the charts, like, you know, how can you guarantee there won't be any violence or, you know, any of this kind of nonsense? Again, the reality is any of the violent rhetoric is coming literally from the other side of the aisle here.
I would agree. And I think what Jack, what he said on here, it was something that Charlie Kirk would go around talking about all the time. The more we speak, the less violent things tend to be. I think if you were to sit down with someone who disagreed with you and actually talk things through, you'd actually find a lot more points of agreement than you'd think. I think it is imperative that we try to sit down and have these conversations in order to, for the love of everyone else, prevent any sort of violence from going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem I see here is that since the assassination, the rhetoric has not been tamped down on the other side. It has only gotten worse. And, you know, on this program, I'm not about whataboutisms. We condemn rhetoric on both sides of the aisle. The reality is it's all coming from one side, and it's incumbent upon the Democrats to tell people we got to tone it down. I mean, we have a story up on our website, toddstearns.com. Some guy had a big pro-Trump billboard on his property in Virginia off of I-95, and they said somebody came along and just vandalized it, and they literally hung President Trump in effigy and called for people to assassinate President Trump. That is not helping things in this country.
I would agree with you. Those people you just cannot debate with. The people that mock the death of Charlie Kirk, I mean, it's just, you just can't change their minds. They're people you cannot debate with. They're very close-minded. And if you're celebrating the death of any political figure like Charlie Kirk, I don't really think you deserve to have a say in politics. I don't think many people will take your opinion seriously naturally. I myself do not associate with those kind of people.
You see, that's where I draw the line. It's like, if you are pro-death, okay, you don't get a seat at my table. You know, there's no communicating with that. There's no rational conversation you can have with somebody that wants to kill you simply because they disagree with your opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I want to ask you about the big event last night at Ole Miss, which is about an hour away from Memphis. What was your reaction to the response that the Vice President Erica Kirk got from the students at Ole Miss?
Well, obviously, everyone knows the images that I've seen. Huge turnout.
Yeah.
I saw something that said over half the student body attended this event. I think it's inspiring. This movement is, I think Charlie's death really put a fire under this movement, as seen at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is also a traditionally conservative college. I'll give them that. So they'll have a great turnout anyway. But the growth of Turning Point has seen a lot of growth through this because of the people being inspired by Charlie Kirk and his death.
I was so impressed with the vice president standing up there and for an hour just taking questions, no scripts, nothing. You know, he didn't know what they were going to be asking, but he stood up there, and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. I had friends who went down there and said that the main topic was immigration, and that's what they were trying to get Vance on. Personally, I actually did not get a chance to watch it, but I've had inside sources that have told me about it. They said it was very, very, they didn't even spend money on it. It was a free ticket, but very, very well time spent down there for them.
Well, it was really good. And of course, you guys are hosting Riley Gaines at the University of Memphis coming up, and no doubt that's going to be an exciting evening.
I would say so. I'm going. We aren't actually hosting it. Memphis is. I wish we could have helped. That would have been an awesome opportunity.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's great that even smaller kind of overlooked universities like Memphis are getting people like Riley Gaines to speak there. It really shows that Turning Point cares. You're not just going to Auburn, Ole Miss, Georgia, all these huge campuses. Memphis is not that large of a school, yet they still care about it. It's inspiring to see.
And it is inspiring to see. And we're so honored to have Pierce Matthews with us. He heads up the TPUSA chapter at Rhodes College here in the Memphis area. Pierce, I'm just curious, what was it about the conservative movement? What drew you to the conservative movement?
Well, one part of it was that I grew up a conservative Christian. And I always thought, being around that environment, I thought we were the ones. I always thought we were right. I started in the conservative movement, and I really started to get interested in politics when I saw all the people like me, conservative Christians, getting canceled during Biden's time as president. And like Charlie Kirk, this is also inspiring. I think as Christians, we consider ourselves the purveyors and defenders of the truth. The truth is Christ is King. And watching all these conservatives, you know, get debanked, get canceled, it really, because I associate myself with these high-profile figures, they said, okay, they want me gone. Or I said that. I said they want me gone because I hold the same beliefs as them. And I think that was what led me to get involved.
I think it's going to be exciting to see what happens next. And, of course, we're dealing with bigger issues like the economy, and no doubt that's impacting, you know, people in your age generation, your demographic, and we're certainly going to have to deal with that. But I look at other issues within the culture, and especially the people embracing the more orthodox portions of the Christian faith, going back to the Catholic Church, going to some of these other churches. It seems as though, Pierce, and tell me if I'm off base here, it seems like your generation is searching for something deeper in their relationship with God.
I would agree. We all grew up during COVID. This weird. I was in seventh grade when COVID started.
Wow.
I was a child. I was a youngster. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to live through this, and I saw all that was happening. It was just a weird time to grow up in because the stuff that was happening with George Floyd wasn't normal, not a normal time to grow up in. And I think the reason, like, we saw through all the stuff with Fauci and all the scum and the Democrats, and we were like, people my age, we learned not to fall for propaganda. We have a serious distrust now in a lot of the media, a lot of what goes on in Washington, D.C., so we thought, you know what, there has to be a red pill to this. There has to be something deeper. And I think that's why people are turning to Christianity in more traditional forms as well. Catholicism is seeing a large amount of growth all over the world now among Gen Z, especially males. And I think that's why. It's because people started to wake up and realize we are in a world of lies, and the only truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate red pill.
It's a brilliant way to put it. I'm curious, starting the chapter, so you've got YAF, I think you've got Turning Point, and College Republicans there at Rhodes. So you guys all working together, has it been exciting to see your colleagues, your peers, saying, hey, look, I'm a conservative, I want to be a part of this?
As of right now, I think most of us are focused on our own chapters and growing that and getting registered.
Yeah.
But I think as time goes on, it is exciting to see that people, like, we were the first ones that, Turning Point was the first, we weren't on campus because we weren't registered, but right. We are the people who really kind of instigated this whole movement.
I love it.
And it's, I love to see all these people starting to get involved and really take a stand for what is the truth. Like Jack and Yaff, and Rhodes Republicans. It's exciting to think, the most exciting part is to think that we can work together.
Right.
Once we get established more, and really take this movement, by the neck and,
take it to the next level.
Yeah,
and see exactly. What happens. Exactly. All right. Well, look, Pierce, we've got to take a break, but congratulations to you. Good luck on getting registered. If there are any problems, I told Jack the same thing I'm going to tell you. You let us know, and we will be happy to step in. But the administration, they don't like us very much because we just tell it like it is, and we're not going to allow conservatives to be bullied on any campus in America. And so, but I suspect it's going to be smooth sailing for you. Best of luck to you guys, and let us know how we can help out. All yes, right, sir. Pierce Matthews, everybody, with the Turning Point USA chapter at Rhodes College. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right. I love that we're able to introduce you to the next generation of young Republicans and young scholars. I was asking Pierce off air. I said, what do you want to do? What's your major? He's majoring in chemistry. So well done. And I think the other guy that came on earlier wants to be like a doctor or something. So we're getting some great talent coming through. And it's fun to introduce them to you and put them on the air. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is going to be a little long, but I want you to hear the vice president, J.D. Vance. He was at Ole Miss, and this kid asks him a question. I just love all the back and forth. Let's take a listen.
Hello, J.D. How you doing today, man?
Good. How you doing?
In the wise words of Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Don't feel bad. Neither do I half the time, man.
Okay. First off, yeah, laugh it up. Okay, first off, I just want to say I am a huge supporter of the Trump administration. I was 3 months too late to vote for you guys, but if I could have, I would have. So I'm a huge supporter of you guys before I make my argument, but there is something you guys are doing that is kind of disturbing me a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. You guys have sent the military into Washington, D.C. and a few other cities that I can't think of off the top of my head, which, first off, they've had wonderful results. Like, no one can deny the results of that. It's wonderful. Some might even say the greatest. I'm a comedian.
I like this guy. Who is this guy?
Thank you, J.D. I like you, too.
Now he's gonna ask the question about all the that we did wrong, but that's okay. Go ahead and ask your question.
But, yeah, I'm just wondering, well, it's not necessarily something you did wrong, but it's what could someone else do wrong? Let's say we get a complete tyrant in office, and let's say Turning Point USA is having a huge protest against something really bad that we don't like. And let's say he's a president is saying that it's getting violent. How can we – I'm trying to think. My mind's kind of blank. What is the difference between what you're doing and how could we prevent someone from abusing that power?
Yeah, so look, I understand where the question is coming from, and I think it's a fair question. And it's going to sound like I'm being sarcastic, and it really is not meant in any offense. But when you talk about what could another administration do, to take a wild hypothetical example totally off the top of my head, what if Joe Biden sent the Federal Bureau of Investigation to start arresting his political opponents? Okay. So here's something that I want every conservative to remember. It's an important part of my entire political philosophy is We cannot be afraid to do something because the left might do it in the future. The left is already going to do it regardless of whether we do it. That is the takeaway of the last 40 years. And in particular, if you look at what we're doing, if Joe Biden wanted to deploy the National Guard to a red state in a place where the murder rate was twice what it is in third world countries to actually go after murderers, that would be a great use of the National Guard. Unfortunately, I don't think Joe Biden would use it like that. What I'm worried about, frankly, is what the far left already did with American law enforcement. And that is the thing that we have to prevent against. And the answer to that question is you make sure the people who did it face penalties for using the federal power against American citizens. And by the way, that's exactly what we're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you, JD. Honor to meet you, man.
Good to meet you, too, man.
All right. By the way, young man, his name is Vice President Vance. But aside from that, you know, I love how the vice president just rolled with it. And Dylan, are we surprised that it was a guy from Mississippi who actually brought up a Ricky Bobby reference?
Not at all.
I'm impressed that Vance knew exactly what he was talking about, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not surprised. I mean, Vance, he seems like he has watched that movie plenty of times.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, they treated him like a rock star at Ole Miss. I was super proud of how the crowd responded. And by the way, half the student body asked for tickets to that thing. Here's where I'm at on this, though, Dylan. I mean, there were a lot of older people that were in that crowd. You know what? You're an old person. Step aside. Give your ticket to a kid, a young person who needs to hear the message.
Yeah. It's cool to see that too in Ole Miss, but you know, they hotty-totted and rallied around JD, and that was awesome.
They sure did. I will say this, Ole Miss, one of the top tailgating experiences in college football. Would you agree or disagree?
The Grove. Yeah, I have experienced the Grove. It is it's terrifying and very exciting.
How so terrifying?
You never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's true.
You know, a lot of people are partying, having a good time. So
there's a lot of beverages being consumed.
Yes, lots of beverages.
And you know, you're not allowed to have any sort of a grill, no flame. Mm-hmm. Everything is already prepared.
Yeah.
And saying that, the food is off the charts.
Absolutely.
And even if it's not, you don't remember it because of all the booze you consumed.
So, that's accurate.
Hotty toddy. What are you going to say? All right. We've got to say goodbye. Yeah, our time has expired. ToddStearns.com. If you want to go back and listen to the show, you can do that. You can download our podcast. It's free of charge. Would love for you to do that. Also, sign up for our free newsletter. Comes out every single day in the morning. And we have a lot of exclusive content just for you. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You be good, America.